Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's hear from Big Red Andy Reid as the Chiefs get ready to hopefully officially win the AFC West with a victory over the Miami Dolphins on Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. Here, Andy Reid gives us an injury update.
As far as injuries go, Eric Fisher and Kels have got a sickness, so they will not be at practice. Tamba won't practice today, and Kevin Pierre-Lewis has a shoulder, and he won't practice today.
Their sickness, do you think it might be like an eye infection?
Or a virus?
Not. Well, I can tell you, I missed Monday because I was sick. I was down. I mean, one of my daughters last week missed Thursday and Friday. Has been going around there. Richie had it. I got it. Jake's got a virus in his eye. Everything's, I don't know, getting passed around. Have you been out there? Touching people?
I was out there on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Were you near the bench at all?
I was hanging out right next to Kelsey and sitting in between him and Fisher, so I don't know. Maybe they got an eye virus.
Damn it. Better not. Here is Andy Reid on playing the Miami Dolphins.
Look forward to playing the Dolphins. Again, we know they're a good football team, and so we're going to prepare ourselves for that. Look forward to playing again at home at Arrowhead. Should be a great crowd, great football, and so we welcome the Dolphins in to that.
Welcome in, Dolphins. Come on in here, Jay Cutler. Have a cigarette.
Don't care. It's going to be good that it's going to be cold. Dolphins don't want to play in cold weather.
Yeah, because Jay Cutler, he's never played in cold weather.
You like Jay Cutler, don't you?
I like his wife.
Hmm.
I mean, like, because of her role on the Hills and...
Right.
Laguna Beach.
You don't need to explain yourself.
I mean, obviously, I don't like his wife. I just enjoy her screen character that, you know, in reality television.
If it's reality television, that's not a screen character. Then that's just her, right?
You like her. Yeah. It's okay to like her.
Getting text messages from producers during live shooting.
What?
That's how it all was. They'd sit there on their phones and the producers would, hey, say this and piss off this person.
How much time did you spend watching these TV shows?
None of your damn business.
Right. Have you seen the trailer for Sicario 2 yet?
Yes. I saw you tweet that out. Right? Right? Yep.
Oh.
It made me want to go back and watch the first one again.
Yes.
I might do that this week.
Yes.
I heard you guys talking about this movie the other day. I never heard of it.
Oh,
the first one or the second one?
Well, I heard you talking about just the movies. Whatever.
We've talked about it a lot on the show.
He actually, day after Steven saw it, he talked about it for a whole segment.
That doesn't mean that he heard it.
I might not have been here.
You were here.
I mean, I might not have been here.
Right, yeah. Good point.
But it just, this is the best thing about it, because I feel like it was a gift to us. Because the day after watching the Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, we complained about Benicio del Toro not having a big enough role, being underutilized, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he is utilized in the sequel. Looks like we will not have that problem, right? So you did see it?
I did.
Fired up?
Thanks to your Twitter account. I'm glad I started following you, though.
Thanks.
That was yesterday morning I started following you.
So, and I feel like I really underestimate how much I like Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
I think I really...
Goonies.
I really enjoy him as an actor.
Andy, you Goonie.
I think I'm always pleased with his work. So, that's all. Geek out. Double geek out. Back to Big Red Andy Reid. I'm sure he'd like to see Sicario 2 when the season's over.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, who really wasn't a kick returner this year, but made the Pro Bowl as a kick returner. So
makes sense.
Right. Here, Andy Reid tells us where Tyreek Hill has shown improvement this year.
Yeah, I would tell you just consistent route running. He's going to work, continue to work on that, and it's something he's worked very hard at and got very, very good at. But he could take it up even another notch there. So it's a matter of just getting through that first year, seeing all the different defenses, secondaries, looks that you're going to get, and have an opportunity to work those routes against those coverages.
Is it fair to say he was more raw than most receivers in the draft when he got
here? Well, they kind of, yeah, because they split duty with him. I mean, he did a little bit of receiver, a little bit of running back, so he just had to learn some things there. But I know Jeremy Maclin was very good for him. Greg's been very good for him. Greg and he both kind of had that same type of game, the speed game. Not the biggest guys, but they, you know, both of them made a living off of that. So Greg's been a good asset for him.
Coach, teams know how fast he is. How is he still able to kind of get that distance between him and everyone else?
Yeah. Well, some of it's learning how to run routes. I mean, he's learned how to release, and that's one thing people think they can do is bump and run them. You got to be real careful with that, right? So if you miss, then he's gone, and he's gotten a lot better at that. And so you want to come up and press him, there's that consequence.
Tyreek Hill, do you know how many catches he has this year?
I hope it's 69.
It is 69. Right. You know, I know you and
shut
I talked
down
about
for season. Sit him down. Sit him down.
Mm-hmm. He's got a decent chance at 1,200 yards receiving. And as you pointed out, in his first year as a true wide receiver, it'll be interesting to see how he even develops from here, you know?
It's exciting.
Yeah. Because right now it still seems like, you know, when you kept hearing Andy Reid talk about the route running there, but mm-hmm. seems like most of what he does right now is still either a wide receiver screen or a go route. You know, there doesn't seem like there's a whole lot in the intermediate passing game.
It's going to develop.
And that will keep developing, you would think, you know.
Cornerbacks start playing, you know, consistently 10 yards off the ball, yeah. Realize they can't afford to get beat off the line of scrimmage because they can't recover. There's no recovery speed to help you with Tyreek Hill. Because
nope.
Once he beats you, bye-bye.
Yeah. He gone.
Here is Andy Reid more on Alex Smith and the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Alex made it as a first alternate. Listen, I'm a big fan of his, so I would tell you, I thought he should have been in, but that's here nor there. He's not. That doesn't matter what I say. So, but he sure has had a great year.
When I was a young man, I was in several leagues at the North Kansas City Pro Bowl.
Down is that North a town. Bowling alley?
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah. Jose Canseco was hanging out there one night.
Were there any robots attacking him?
No.
Was he afraid of the automatic pin-setting machines?
Probably. Probably frightened him.
These things are going to rule the world someday. Mm-hmm. So, the Pro Bowl's in Orlando this year?
I don't know. That's how little I care about it. I have no idea.
I just looked it
you
up.
You could tell me any city. I go, okay, great.
Yeah.
Because I will spend 0 seconds watching it. I don't know when it is. I don't know where it is. And I don't care. Is that bad?
No, I feel the same way. I don't plan on spending even a second watching it. I didn't know when it was. I can't, you know, they changed it around so much. It used to always be in Hawaii. And it used to always be after the Super Bowl, right?
Sure.
Now, I think it's like the weekend between the Super Bowl, like they had that week off period before the Super Bowl.
Jake watches this, doesn't he? You watch the Pro Bowl?
I usually tune in for the first quarter.
It's going to be in at Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida.
If you skip last year, you missed Kelsey doing the Salt Bay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I really feel like I missed out on that.
I don't know why. I don't.
Anytime I can watch Travis Kelce catch touchdown passes, I'm okay. I'm on good with that. Pro Bowl.
Right.
So January 28th would be the week before the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
It's going to be live at 3 o'clock on ESPN. And simulcast on ABC.
And tune in and watch Alex Smith play.
He very likely will be playing in that game.
Here Andy Reid talks about Matt Nagy continuing to call plays.
I think he's done a nice job. It's allowed me to kind of roam and do some things there. So it's worked well. Yeah.
Do you mean more attention on defense? Is that what you mean to say?
You can see more of the game, but I've done it both ways. I mean, there's pluses and minuses to both. So, but I have a lot of trust in Matt, so that helps.
How much do you guys talk when it was leading up to that? How much did you guys talk about how maybe you would like to see? Is it just like, no, I trust the way you might call a game?
Yeah, he's been with me a long time, so he kind of knows how we go about business, or I go about business, and I, at the same time, I want him to add his flair to it. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. But again, we want to run the offense, and he believes in the offense, so I have trust there that he's going to do a good job with it.
Run the ball.
Seems like they've gotten back to that last couple games. I don't know how much that's Matt Nagy. Maybe some of these run-pass options that Grunty was telling us about are helping in that regard.
Yeah. It's almost like someone suggested running the ball against San Diego was the key. I don't know.
Maybe they were listening to you.
Nope. No, trust me.
St. John says we should run.
They don't listen to me. I've got several examples of that. Really, no one in this world listens to me.
What?
That's a true statement.
I listen.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You hear me, but do you listen? You hear me, but do you listen?
Yeah.
I don't think
probably
so.
Half the time.
Andy Reid talks about wanting to wrap up the division title this weekend against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think there's got to be an urgency from everybody, I believe. And so that's what I felt coming in when the players came in here yesterday. So I feel it today. But there has to be an urgency all the way around. You're not guaranteed of anything. And so every game becomes the most important game. If it wasn't before, it surely is now. I mean, we put ourselves in this position, so we've got to make sure we stay focused. And That's how I look at it. I can't speak for anybody, but I mean, I felt that the last couple of days, yeah.
Would you like the flexibility to be able to rest some guys and have some playoff prep time?
I haven't got that far. I have done that before, but I'm kind of narrowed in on this thing, and I don't want to go any further than that. Just stay with us.
And finally, here's Andy Reid with some thoughts on the Miami Dolphins defense.
Yeah, well, first of all, they're very good on third down, very good third down defense. And 93 is a very powerful man. He's also smart. And their whole defense wants to play on the other side of the line of scrimmage. So we take that into account.
Anyone nervous about this game?
A little bit. A little bit. Not like a ton nervous, but that's almost what makes me nervous. Seems like the Chiefs this year have had their worst performances in games that we thought, well, they're just going to win that game, you know? So, yeah, that makes me a little nervous. And I just don't think you want to put yourself in a position where you have to go to Denver needing anything out of that game.
The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Miami Dolphins in each of the first six games the teams played between 1966 and 1969. However, since the merger, the Dolphins have had the clear upper hand including wins, in all three playoff meetings between the teams, including the 1990 wildcard game, where the Chiefs were up 16-3 over the Dolphins at halftime, and then Dan Marino threw two touchdown passes, including one in the fourth quarter, where Albert Lewis went for the interception, was over-aggressive, and that led to the touchdown. And then Steve DeBerg drove the Chiefs down the field, and there was a big run by Christian Okoye that would have set them up for a chip shot field goal, but I believe it was Dave Zott that was called for holding, pushed him back, and Nick Lowry had to attempt a field goal of over 50 yards, and it looked right on target, and I thought he made it, and it didn't, and that's when I punched the window out of a door that divided the living room and the hallway in our in the house we had just moved into the year prior on Van Brunt Boulevard, right down the street from Northeast High School. And Caesar was there and a couple of other of my friends. And then my mom saw what I did and screamed and called my dad. And you guys know what happened after that.
Steve, he punched a window out. I can't handle him.
Thank you, sir.
He's coming home.
And gone.
I don't remember out. Any other playoff games against the Dolphins besides that one.
I am out. About the longest game ever.
Oh, Ed, yeah. Podolak. I mean, I guess I was thinking of that being in that first, I guess that was the year after 1960. Was that 1971 or whatever? I don't even remember what year that was now. But I guess in my lifetime, I don't remember any other playoff games against the Dolphins.
Well, I remember that one.
Yeah. Was your hand all bloodied up from that?
It was just a cut. It didn't bleed too bad.
You're lucky you didn't end up with some bad cuts. You know?
Right. No, I mean, I was very angry.
That game was 1971.
I was very angry that they didn't use Okoye enough in that game, not until late. I thought they gave the ball to Barry Word too much. I was furious. I had already, and this is so early in my Chiefs fandom, especially with Marty Schottenheimer. I didn't know the playoff heartbreaks that were awaiting me, so I thought a 16-3 lead was safe at halftime. Dan Marino cut my heart out.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did I take that one hard. How old was I? So I was like 17. I'm a fresh-faced 17-year-old thinking the Chiefs had a chance to win it all. Ah! And I remember, they're going to be in the playoffs a whole bunch. They'll get me there. The next year, they beat the Raiders.
Yeah, they were in the playoffs a whole
bunch. And they lost a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then 92, they lost to the Chargers. And then 93, that's when they won. So 91, they beat the Raiders. 92, they lost to the Chargers. And then 93, they beat the Steelers, beat the Oilers, and then lost to the Bills in the championship game. And then, now do you remember what was next? What was the next year after 93?
94.
Who did the Chiefs play in the playoffs?
That was the year they played the Steelers?
No.
No.
94, the Dolphins.
Oh.
Montana versus Marino in the playoffs.
I don't remember that. Why do I not remember
that? Because it wasn't very good, because it was horrible.
I've chosen not to remember right. That one.
No, that's what I was leading up to, because he said you didn't remember the other two. Jake looked that game up.
I don't remember.
That was a stupid game.
How have I blanked on that one?
No, I remember all the commercials. Montana, Marino, playoffs. Blah.
Gosh, I mean, the Dolphins, ever since the Marino era, they've just been one of those teams that just hasn't been able to find a quarterback of any kind, right? I mean, I know they had...
December 31st, 1994, Chiefs at Dolphins, they lose 27-17.
New Year's Eve of 94.
And that led to my... So after losing in the 90 wild card game and then the 94 wild card game, that led to my hatred of Dan Marino despite his appearance in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, which is still one of the best cameos by a professional athlete in the movie.
Ice and Toners.
Right.
Was it as good or better than Brett Favre's appearance in Something About Mary?
I think Marino's is probably better. A bigger role, I think.
I really liked Brett Favre in Something About Mary.
Favre was good, but it was just like such a blip.
Yeah,
Marino was pretty prominent. I mean, not prominent.
I really liked Ace Ventura.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
At that time, I liked Something About Mary, too. But yeah, just, you know.
Einhorn is Finkel.
Peyton Manning plays the voice of one of the bulls in this new movie, Ferdinand, that my kids and I watched last week.
Dude, I can't believe they're making that a movie. That book, my grandma and my parents used to read me that book.
I had no idea that was a book.
All the time I was a kid.
Because John Cena's Ferdinand, but
right.
I hate Peyton Manning, so.
Right. No, I still own the book. Like, it's old. I was like five.
Sports hate. I shouldn't say real hate. It's not good for my heart. Point is, so there. You said you don't remember the other two Dolphins playoff losses.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on that game. I don't know why. I'm just choosing to forget it. But, I mean, what if the Dolphins had a quarterback since... I mean, he retired in 1999. That's a long time ago, almost 20 years ago. And they just have been floundering, looking for a quarterback ever since, right?
The Dolphins are floundering. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Anywho... Since the merger, the Dolphins have had the clear upper hand, including wins in all three playoff meetings with the teams. So we've gone over those.
Been a long time, though. Been a long time. 94? Right. Man.
Is that all of them?
Well, I don't know.
Yep. 71, 90, and 94. Okay. The Chiefs' worst record versus any opponent since 1970, regular and postseason combined, what team do they have the worst record against?
The Steelers?
Third worst. 11-23.
Yeah. Bills?
No.
I mean, the Dolphins have to be on there somewhere.
The Dolphins are second worst.
Is it an AFC team?
No. Since 1970, the Chiefs...
Oh, Giants.
Yeah.
New York Giants.
Yeah. Oh, they've never won in New York against the Giants.
So the Chiefs against the Giants since 1970, they're 3-11.
Well, I remember seeing that when we lost there this year.
Against the Dolphins since 1970, including the playoffs, the Chiefs are 7-16 against Miami.
Well, that's a stupid stat. Ooh. I don't like that.
That's why that's where it all comes from. It's been so long, but that's why I cannot stand watching the Miami Dolphins play football.
Yeah.
I don't. Those are one of the teams, like, it has nothing to do with the Chiefs. And if it's just a game on, I don't want to watch the Dolphins. I don't like the Dolphins. I don't care. I don't think they're exciting to watch. I've never liked the Dolphins. And now, this is why this show is therapeutic for me. And I figure things out about myself. I just thought maybe I don't like Miami. Maybe I don't like their uniforms. I don't know. It's because I'm still so pissed off about 1990 and kind of 1994. 1994, I went into that game. I remember the mindset. They're going to lose. And I'm, you know, but maybe Montana. It's a postseason. And then Montana's going to snap his fingers. And he's going to, you know, play out of his mind again. Right. And it didn't happen. And so I was furious. But the 1990 thing still hurts me because I think I may have loved that Chiefs team more than any Chiefs team of my youth.
I think in 1990 I learned new curse words. I just remember my father. Oh. No. My father.
I loved that team. That was the year that DeBerg had 23 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and played out of his mind. And Okoye and Word. I loved everything about that team. And Derek Thomas, Neil said, oh, that was my team. And it just... Them losing with the Dolphins in the wild card, and then following up just a few years later in 94, and just I can't stand the Dolphins. Don't want to watch them. no desire to even see them.
I just find them to be a horribly uninteresting team forever.
That's how I feel.
Ever since Marino was in his prime, is the last time I found them to be a really interesting team.
And so when they were interesting, they beat the Chiefs twice in the playoffs, and I despise them. So
yeah.
There it is.
I think they're stupid for changing their uniforms, too. Their old uniforms were good. And they didn't change them that much, but there's no reason to mess with them.
Why did I do this to myself? And now I'm looking at Chiefs playoff history at Pro Football Reference. Oh. And let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This would be Kansas City's third consecutive home game. And they picked up wins in both of the previous two. They've only won three straight twice since the merger. Three straight and three straight weeks. Like consecutive weeks. First of all, you have to have three straight home games.
Yeah, that makes sense. Probably doesn't happen a whole lot.
Last time it happened was 2013, week 6, 7, and 8. They beat Oakland, Houston, and Cleveland. In 1971, they did weeks 4, 5, and 6. They beat San Diego, Pittsburgh, and Washington. And as we've mentioned several times over the past month, a win would give Kansas City back-to-back division titles for the first time in franchise history. Most consecutive division titles in the AFC West all time. Denver with five in a row from 2011 to 2015. The Raiders also did five in a row, 72 to 76. The Chargers had four in a row from 2006 to 2009. The Chiefs have won it 10 different times, but just once, never twice in a row. And then the Seahawks won it in 88 and 99, never winning two in a row. Here's a little fun tidbit about the Dolphins. Miami is perfect when scoring first this season. They're 4-0 when they score first, but they are 2-8 when allowing the first score of the game, as the Dolphins did in Buffalo last week. So, point is, if Miami scores first, if you're the game, leave.
Just get out of there.
Game over.
Beat the traffic.
That's right.
Go home.
Red Zone Channel.
Get ready for Christmas Eve.
See you next Sunday in Denver.
What if somebody did that? Like you said, the stairs.
Field goal. They kick like a 50-yard field goal.
Like,
I'm out of here.
That's it.
4 minutes in.
Did you listen to the Border Patrol? This game's over.
There's 11:02 left in the first quarter. I'm out of here.
Right.
See ya. This game's over.
But, honey, we drove together.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, bye. The Dolphins have been one of the league's best at forcing opponents into long conversions on third down. But when they have the ball, they have suffered with long third downs as well. The defense, most average yards to go on third down, they're forcing teams, on average, to have third and 7.88 yards to go. The only team that's better at forcing third and long is Pittsburgh. And offensively, on average, they face third and 8.13. Ugh. Chicago's the only team worse than that.
Well, that's, Andy, we talked about how good they are on third down. That's clearly why they're so good on third down defensively, is because they're forcing tough third down situations.
The Patriots and Tom Brady were 0 for 11 on third down on that Monday night game.
Well, Tom Brady's in decline. He's finally starting to show signs of his age, right?
Sure.
Every time he has like a moderately bad quarter, you always see somebody come out with that. Oh, I think I'm starting to see the signs. For whatever reason, the Dolphins beat the Patriots. I don't know,
right.
Like, in Miami. I don't know why. It's weird.
This is significant because the Chiefs are a big play team. The most offensive plays allowed of 20 plus yards. Indianapolis was 73. Good Lord. Tampa was 66, the Jets was 65, and then the Dolphins are fourth with 63. They've given up 63 plays of 20 yards or more.
Well, if the Chiefs got six such plays against them on Sunday, that would be awesome, because then they'd be at 69.
Right, absolutely. Now, the Chiefs lead the NFL in most offensive touchdowns of 20-plus yards. They have 16 touchdowns of at least 20 yards or more. That's pretty damn good.
We got three big-time playmakers.
16. Up next, the Raiders with 15, and then the Texans and the Chargers with 14, and then the Jets and Seahawks with 13. Now, if it's a close game, it may favor the Dolphins. Miami has been great in one-possession games this year, while the Chiefs have not. Tell me if this surprises you. Okay, don't look it up. Just think about it. What do you think the Chiefs' record is in games decided by 7 points or less this year? Because I feel like this will come up in the playoffs. What is the Chiefs' record in games decided by 7 points or less this year?
How many games?
I'll never tell you that. Six. I held out as long as I could.
I'll never tell.
I'm going to say 0 for 6.
I'm going to say 2 and 4.
I mean, it seems like all their wins have been blowouts.
1 and 5.
Ooh. Mm. I'm trying to think of a close game. Who'd they beat close?
The Monday Night Football against the Redskins. They kick a game-winning field goal, buttkicker.com.
No, the Eagles came back at the end, didn't they?
I think it was that, I'm going to stand by my statement. I think it was the Redskins game, Monday Night Football. So I feel like buttkicker.com kicked a game-winning field goal.
Nope, they beat them 29-20. Philadelphia 27-20.
Yeah?
Yeah. You were wrong, I was right.
Man. Mm-hmm. I'm stupid.
Just like Philip Rivers and Alex Smith.
But they, okay, so they beat the Eagles 27-20. The Redskins was 29-20. But they lost to the Steelers 19-13, so there's a close loss. They lost to the Raiders 31-30. They lost to the Giants 12-9, the Bills 16-10, and the Jets 38-31. So there's all the one-score games. But doesn't that irritate you to hear all those results?
Well, and so the one win wasn't even really that close of a game, wasn't it? Didn't the Eagles tack on a score at the end to kind of make it look closer? Yeah, they scored with 8 seconds left to make it a 7-point game. They were down 27-13.
So then what do we take away from the stat?
You said that all right. I know you said they tacked on a touchdown, but I didn't think you said all the details. Right. I was listening to you when you said it, Jake. That wasn't the case of me not listening.
So what does that tell you then? Does that make you nervous? Is that just?
I mean, I feel like they won a lot of close games last year.
I feel like all the losses have come when they're playing behind. I mean, they need to get a lead.
That's you know, the interesting thing though is that
the Raiders came back and won at the end.
Yeah,
they had a lead against the Raiders,
and they actually trailed.
They had a lead against the Jets
in the third quarter in a lot of games. You know, they were losing to the Patriots late in the third quarter. They were losing to the Eagles, I think, at one point in the third quarter. Yeah, they were down 10-6 in the third quarter against the Eagles. So they've had some games where they got behind.
I mean, were they up 14-0 on the Jets?
Yeah, right out of the chute.
That doesn't give me confidence that they've been so bad in close games.
No. Why did I think they kicked a game-winning field goal at the end of that Monday night game?
You were drinking.
Stupid.
Because Butt Kicker had 5 field goals. They couldn't score a touchdown. They just kept kicking field goals.
I mean, it says here on the headline, Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker drilled a 43-yard field goal with 8 seconds left in his first career game. That's so, I don't.
Because Justin Houston had the fumble return at the end.
Ah, damn it. I was right.
Butker kicked a field goal with 4 seconds left, and then Houston had the fumble return with no time left to make it 29-20.
Justin Houston! See, I mean, like, that's a closer game than that was a closer game than the Eagles game.
9 points.
That was a closer game than the Eagles game.
Nope. You Eagles, remember 27-20, 29-20. Nope, seven.
You remembered when
less than nine.
Josh Dotson almost caught that touchdown pass.
Oh yeah, in the back of the end zone.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh no, people forget how they almost lost that game.
Yeah. So that, but I mean, for what we're talking right. about in terms of trying to win a close game, the Chiefs had to kick a field goal to take the lead with right. 4 seconds left. You know. So that was a close win.
What's the Dolphins' record in six games decided by 7 points or less?
1-5.
4-2.
5-1. They're 5-1. Chiefs are 1-5.
Ooh.
I mean, it feels like that's a stupid stat then.
Yeah, you know? I'm not gonna put too much stock in that.
But what if it's a close game in the fourth quarter? Then
make me
go,
nervous.
Oh boy.
Now that I know that, it's gonna make me nervous.
Right. Because you know why? Because CBS will show that stat.
Yeah.
If it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Yeah, it's a 27-20 here at Arrowhead. And by the way, here's how these two teams have fared in one-score games.
I can't believe Justin Houston's fumble return made me wrong and Jake Wright. I hate
That's
that.
That's exactly right.
Thanks, 5-0.
Stupid tack on That's touchdown
exactly
by the
right.
Eagles.
Thanks, Big 50.
Exactly right.
I remember that blew everybody's gambling up. Now that I remember it, because then that was one of those
His
bad
backdoor cover.
Things, you know?
Well, there you go. There's some fun stats for you to prepare you
Nugget.
For the Chiefs and Dolphins on Sunday at Arrowhead.
I'm glad the Chiefs are a double-digit favorite then, so it's not going to be a close game. Because every time the Chiefs have been a double-digit favorite against an AFC East team, they've taken care of business.
Stop it. That's not accurate.
Is that not right?
No, it's incorrect, actually.
Name one AFC East team that they were double-digit favorites against they lost to.
Jets.
Were they double-digit favorites against the Bills, too?
I don't know, but still, I feel like they should have been stupid. What a terrible game that was, too. But that's all right. Maybe all the struggles are behind them, right?
Peaking at the right time, baby.
There you go. Let's take a break. We'll talk to Gary Lezak after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez. Let's say hello to Gary Lezak. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, guys. Welcome back, Nate.
Thank you very much, Gary. I enjoyed the last couple of days off, and it's good to talk to you. And I know that I missed a heck of a segment with you guys yesterday, and I just want you to know that I love you, and I'm proud of you, and I'm proud to call you a friend, man.
Well, hey, thanks a lot, and the outpouring of support from Kansas City has just been tremendous. I mean, you know, a lot of people think you don't have to do such a thing and come out anymore, but it's still very important. I'm glad I did it, and I'm getting a lot of requests for speaking engagements to help the youth out there, and I want to be involved in that process. But I appreciate it, and Jake said he's going to put that segment from yesterday up on a podcast later today.
I'm looking forward to listening to it because I didn't get to hear it yesterday, so yeah. I can't wait to hear that.
So thanks.
Yeah.
So anyway, how was did you guys go to your Christmas party last night?
Missed you. I was asking where you were.
Yeah, well, we had our party at 41 Extra News.
You don't need to make that up. I told Nate the truth that you were boycotting the party because Alex Smith was snubbed by the Pro Bowl, and so you were very angry and you did not want to.
He was snubbed.
Right.
And,
see?
Yeah.
Gary admits it. Jake won't admit it. Jake says he was not snubbed and the right selection was made. What do you say to
really?
That? Yep. That's what Jake says.
You look at the stats from week 6 through week 12.
That's true.
Yeah, but isn't the stats from 1 through week 12? Week
right,
through
but
tell him,
when do you think most of the voting happened?
Well, but I understand that.
I'm just saying, week
Don't
6 through 12,
Gary,
Phillip Rivers,
right.
I mean, it wasn't even...
Yeah. Well, he should have...
He threw two interceptions
bowl.
In that period of time. Alex Smith threw four.
Yeah, well...
11 TDs to Alex Smith's 8.
We experienced Alex Smith as being the better quarterback than Phillip Rivers.
Now
we
you're
did.
Talking. Nessie, now you're talking.
We just experienced this last week. So we watched a frantic, aging Phillip Rivers making bad decisions, creating this hectic, crazy atmosphere.
It's not his fault his defense couldn't stop Kareem Hunt.
Oh, boy. So their defense that was really good going into that game all of a sudden was bad.
Well, I'm just saying you got to put it just as much as you put it on Phillip Rivers. You got to put it on that defense for not being able to stop Kareem Hunt and that Chiefs offensive line.
Regardless, he got snubbed. He should have made the Pro Bowl. Nope. But that's neither here nor there. It's all up to Alex Smith now to prove and rise up and beat Miami. You got to come into this game focused. This is the NFL.
Yeah.
If you lose to Miami this weekend, you can go to Denver and lose.
Sure.
Right?
For
it
sure.
Happens. Last game of the year, the Chiefs are like 2-14 seasons. They almost beat everybody on that last game of the season. So you've got to win. This is a huge game on Sunday. And it may be, listen, guys, there's a chance, still a chance. I am saying yes from the movie Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance of a white Christmas. There's still a chance.
So give it to me straight. What are we talking, 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000?
On the air last night, I was down to a 7% chance. Okay, I was up to a 55% chance a couple weeks ago because this pattern has been just ridiculous. We talked a little bit about patterns a couple days ago. There are chances in there. These storm systems are coming in. One storm is coming towards us right now. It's splitting apart. It may produce a little snow in Omaha and Des Moines today. Possibility of an inch up there. Omaha, Nebraska, and Des Moines, Iowa have not had an inch of snow yet, okay, either. So it's not just Kansas City. There's a chance up there today, and then maybe some drizzle, but this storm misses us. Then there's a system that will, new data is going to come in here very soon. I'm going to blog. Go to weatherblog.kshb.com, and I'll have that done here in about 15 minutes when this new data comes out. But there's a system comes through Saturday night and early on Christmas Eve.
Mm.
And it should be strong enough to produce a band of snow. If it's only a dusting, hey, it would turn white. We have not had that yet. We have not had a dusting. I have not even said there's a chance of a dusting. I'm not even predicting that yet. But it's a possibility, and hopefully by the time I'm on 41 Extra News tonight, I'll be able to put that chance out there.
I'd love
and
to have a dusting.
For the Christmas Eve football game, a high of around 30 to 32 degrees, kickoff temperature, I don't know what you guys predicted for the contest, but kickoff temperature should be around somewhere in the upper 20s on Christmas Eve for the game.
Gary.
And there may be a little bit of light snow.
Gary.
Yes.
How long have you been on this show with us?
For a long time.
What temperature do you think I guessed?
You did not predict.
Of course I did. Of course I did.
You did?
Of course I did.
I think you're going to come up short this time.
Okay. It wasn't a prediction. It was a hope. All right?
Well, there's this temperature scale called Fahrenheit,
right,
Celsius, mm-hmm, and Kelvin. The Kelvin temperature scale is closer to 69 degrees.
Thank you. That's what I was. I mean, I knew that.
You did?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
I put it in there. I said Kelvin. You know? I put Herrera. Okay, we get
Benjamin?
It. Right.
There you go. The Herrera scale.
Thank you.
You did not predict that.
Sure I did.
Well, of course. All right. Right now it's 42 degrees. Today's high 49. I know it's shocker. It's shocker alert. I just did the weather forecast for 3 minutes for the second time this week.
Easy there. Jake just stood up and ran out of the control room. He didn't. That means something different back where Jake's days in Western Illinois, right? That was part of the...
Yeah, two in the...
No.
Unbelievable.
Right. You should probably hang up the phone now, Gary.
I will. And listen, everyone, I will have this updated forecast for the Christmas chance of white Christmas, something like that, on 41 Extra News later. Thank you for your support, everyone. I really appreciate it. I still have it posted on Facebook, facebook.com/GaryLezak. And I appreciate all this. I mean, 2,100 comments, 240,000 people reached. I just really appreciate the support.
How many pokes on Facebook?
15.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah.
More than I've done.
Let's be honest. You would have had more fun at our holiday party than at the 41 Action News holiday party, wouldn't you?
No, I'm not allowed to say such a thing.
Okay. Who got the craziest of the on-air personalities at 41 Action News? Who maybe might have had one too many?
Mick Schaefer.
Right.
Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah. There you go. He wins that prize.
How long did it take him to take his shirt off?
He wore a Christmas Story sweater.
All right.
A Christmas Story sweater.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
something like that.
Right.
All right, everyone, have a great day. Here's Bob Hamilton.
Thanks, guys. Remember, one call does it all for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and router needs. Better call Bob, 888-4-B-O-B. Remember, 913 or bobhamilton.com.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk to Gary Barnett about college football. Will Carroll later about injuries. I'm not going to talk to him about fantasy football because I don't care anymore. So, how's that sound?
Bad weekend last weekend, huh?
Yeah, I tied and lost in a mysterious tiebreaker. It was weird. It's fine. That's the only way they can beat me.
I implore you next season, before you draft, you have to have decimal. If you don't play with decimal points at this point in time.
You act like I'm
I know, but I'm saying it's your league. You can propose these things.
That's the only way they can beat me. You understand?
Change it.
But that's the only way they can beat me. They got to team up and change the rules to beat me.
Change
it. To take the 69ers out of the playoffs, they got to make up rules to beat me.
If you're not playing with decimal points in this day and age in fantasy football, it's just
in this day and age.
Right. This is not 2000.
This is 2017, bro.
Right. Yeah. This is not 2000.
You can't beat me straight up.
They got decimal points these days.
Man, there's no reason for anybody to tie.
What if you're tied on decimal points?
Yeah.
Well, you really can't be because you can always go down to the 100.
Good.
Just keep going down the decimal.
You're like
system.
A mathematician or something. I like you.
Just add up
the numbers.
One team had more yards than the other team. One team had more touchdowns than the other team. There's just no excuse for it.
You know what? There is no excuse
for
it.
Not in this day and age.
Not this day. It's not 2000.
Right.
It's 2017.
Yeah, for a couple more days.
That's right. Not for much longer.
Back after this on WHB.